Our scripture today begins with John chapter 19, beginning with verse 28. Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked it. They soaked a sponge in it, put a sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And then Luke 23, beginning with verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send those to us. We want to be praying for you. And if you want to follow along on my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Well, today I'm concluding our series on Jesus' last words from the cross. It has been fascinating and instructive to look at Jesus' final words and their significance for our lives. And today we consider the very last words that he spoke. Matthew and Mark indicate that Jesus cried out with a loud voice just before he died. Luke and John tell us what Jesus said. In John's gospel, Jesus shouted, "It is finished." And it was a cry not of defeat or despair, but one of victory. In Greek, Jesus used just one word, as if to shout, "Completed, finished, done." For some time, Jesus had told his disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem to suffer, die, and be raised." This was his mission, his purpose, his fate. And he was declaring that this part of the mission, his suffering and death, was finished. Certainly, the cross is the central symbol of the Christian faith. Post cross in the chat. We have a cross in the center of our sanctuary. We wear crosses around our necks. We put them in our homes. And when someone asks us what is the meaning of the cross, we have some straightforward understandings. Jesus died for you and me. Christ died for our sins. At the center of our faith is the significance of the cross. And yet, as we look at the scriptures, we find multiple meanings. There are several different metaphors used to describe the meaning of the cross. In John 12, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds." Here, Christ points to his death as the means of producing many others following after him. Again in John 12, he says in verse 32, But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, all people to myself. Here Jesus indicates his crucifixion will have a magnetic effect on others in the world. In John 15, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." A picture of tremendous sacrificial love represented by Jesus' death on the cross. In John 1:29, John the Baptist declares, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Like the Passover lamb whose blood was shed, or like the lamb slain every day at the evening sacrifice in the temple, Jesus was sacrificed to atone for the sins of the world. Covenant is another metaphor used to explain the meaning of the cross. In 1 Corinthians 11:25, Paul writes, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Paul also used redemption in Galatians 3:13 to describe what happened. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Because of the cross, Christ is described in so many ways as Savior, Deliverer, Warrior. The biblical writers used many different metaphors to try and illustrate the meaning and significance of Jesus' death on the cross. There's no one way to explain it. The cross speaks profoundly of God's marvelous love, grace, and many other things: redemption, mercy, forgiveness, triumph, victory. We look at Christ on the cross and we see a redeemer, liberator, judge, king. In the cross, we see our need and God's grace, our brokenness and God's love. Jesus also shows us a profound example of sacrificial love for others. Every day, we live and see our world against the backdrop of the cross. And so we celebrate the breadth and depth of the cross's meaning for our lives. In our text from Luke, as well as in Matthew and Mark, as Jesus cried out in a loud voice and then breathed his last, we read that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. The temple curtain being torn in two represented new access, post-access in the chat. In the temple in Jerusalem, there was a curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant rested and the presence of God resided. In Christ's death on the cross, the barrier that had prevented access to God's holy presence, the presence that only the high priest was allowed to enter, and then only once a year on the Day of Atonement, that barrier was torn in two. Imagine the sound of that curtain, that barrier being ripped in two by God. Jesus' death on the cross represented the once-for-all sacrifice that provides us new relationship and access to God through faith in Christ. The daily sacrifice for atonement of sins at the temple had been superseded by Jesus' more perfect sacrifice on Calvary. So now we can approach the throne of God with confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In each of the synoptic gospels, as Jesus breathes his last, we find the centurion's response to a response of faith. In Luke 23:47, he says, "Surely this was a righteous man." In Matthew 27:54, we read, "When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, 'Surely he was the Son of God.'" In Mark 15:39, "And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he had died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" This hardened centurion, whose job it was to crucify hardened criminals, who had probably heard of Jesus like so many others, was curious to observe and watch as Jesus died, and in the end realized that there was something unique about Jesus, and said so. Did this leader of men have everything figured out? No. But he had seen enough to make his statement of faith. Do we have to have everything understood in order to declare our faith? No. I would like to have all my questions answered, but sometimes faith requires us to stand on the truth that we know and let unanswered questions hang there too. Paul was another one who started in one place and ended up in another, persecuting Christ followers at first and then leading Jews and Gentiles to faith in Christ for the rest of his life. And he worked hard to try and answer some tough questions in his day too. His summary statement in Romans 1:16 is powerful. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the what? The power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. On the cross, Christ's saving work was done, completed, finished. But our task of sharing the good news of the gospel is never done. And we should look for opportunity to share of its significance and power at work in us and in the world today. And all of this leads us to Luke's account of Jesus' last words on the cross. In Luke's gospel, the last words Jesus shouted in Luke 23:46 were, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." We learned earlier that several of Jesus' last words were prayers. Earlier that morning, he had prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And then later, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Which actually was a prayer from Psalm 22:1. And when we consider his words, "I thirst," they also may have been a prayer to God, who was the source of true living water. What we see here is that Jesus is once again praying the Psalms, Psalm 31:1-5. The words he prays are profound. In Psalm 31:5, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." He added the word "Father," but he probably was praying verses 1-4 silently before he got to verse 5. Listen to these words, not on your outline. "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge." And then verse 5, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." William Barclay, the New Testament commentator, writes, "That verse was the prayer every Jewish mother taught her child to say the last thing at night. Just as we were perhaps taught to say, 'Now I lay me down to sleep,' so the Jewish mother taught her child to say, 'Into your hands I commit my spirit.'" Jesus made it even more intimate. He began with the words, "Father, Father." What's going on here? Jesus is teaching us how to pray in the darkest times. Remember, his disciples had come to him before and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And he had instructed them to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And even now, in his darkest hour, he continues to teach us how to pray. You know, there are those dark times. Who among us hasn't faced a terrible dark time or a period in life when you wondered if you were going to get through it? Relationship heartaches, health diagnoses, self-doubt and despair, a loss that you didn't see coming. Jesus is teaching us how to pray in our darkest times, teaching us how to pray even when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He was there and said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This prayer keeps us prepared for whatever comes. None of us has the promise of tomorrow. Life is so fragile. Things can change in so little time. The scripture encourages us to be prepared. Jesus shared several parables about that near the end of his life. And in his last words before his death, he points us to a prayer again, a prayer that we would do well to pray before and after every day. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So over these last 4 weeks, as we've considered Jesus' last words from the cross, what's the big picture? What have we learned? What did Jesus want us to hear as he spoke his last words from the cross? As the people, remember, were mocking and making fun of them, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And we were reminded that we too are the them. We too are part of the crowd that placed Jesus up on that cross. And yet he prayed for our forgiveness. Because of Christ's forgiveness of us, we are called to forgive others. We can't hold on to unforgiveness if we're seriously following Jesus. In his words, Woman, here is your son, which I only briefly mentioned, we see Jesus' compassion toward his mother. He loved her and wanted her cared for her after his death. His example reminds us of a central tenet of our faith. Care for parents is important. It's part of what it means to honor our father and mother. As he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus pointed us to the place of prayer, even when we feel abandonment and despair. In our darkest hour, we can still turn to him and seek God's face. When he said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus was reminding us of the extent of God's grace. Through these words of inclusion, we see that God is merciful in spite of our sin. And that's great news for all who find themselves far away from God. When Jesus said, I thirst, we see he was real, he was human, and though he refused to drink anything that would have deadened or lessened his pain, he drank the cup that he had been given. He taught others about water that would truly satisfy, and he is our source of this living water. Just before his death, he shouted, "It is finished." His mission was completed, accomplished, done. In this moment, it's clear God's redeeming work is done. The sacrifice has been made. The price has been paid. And our victory is won. And finally, in his last words, he again prays from the Psalms, but he makes it personal. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Even in his darkest moment, Jesus is teaching us to place our lives in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Because he knows when we do, we can live with confidence and hope no matter what difficulties come our way. Amen? Amen. So let's pray together. You know, over the past 4 weeks, we've been talking about Christ's last words. He gave everything to show us his love. You may be here and have never given your heart to Christ. How can you say no? I hope today you will say yes to his forgiveness. Very simply, under your breath, pray this prayer. Jesus Christ, I accept the gift you've given me. Jesus Christ, I accept your suffering for me. Jesus, forgive me, heal me, and make me yours. I'm going to invite all of us to say aloud, all of us there at home as well, the last prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross. So pray after me, Father, into your hands, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit in Jesus' name, Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. And thank you for your ongoing generosity. Your gifts are helping us to care for and to reach new people, as well as people who are here in our community and who need Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online. You can use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of all of our discipleship opportunities. You'll find the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, in crying out, "It is finished," Jesus was declaring, God's redeeming work is done. The price has been paid. Our victory is won. For now, who do you know that needs to know that victory is true for them?
I saw a wolf this morning.
Where?
No, the regular kind.
Holy Week is such an important season in our faith walk. Join us all week for special services. We have a Maundy Thursday Remembrance, an interactive Good Friday event, and three Easter Sunday services, including a sunrise service at La Fortune. See the newsletter or go online for times and details.
This week, as part of our first Wednesday, we'll host Christ in the Passover, an interactive experience. Join us for a sensory exploration of the beautiful Jewish ceremony called Seder. All are welcome for this unforgettable and thought-provoking experience.
Today at 2 p.m., join the All Ears Music Appreciation Society for a viewing of Handel's Theodora. Popcorn and refreshments will be provided, and everyone is welcome.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.